Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh, you have given me better than that. We're here for a special occasion, and we need to be happy about it because I am. Let me hear you again. Good evening.
Good evening.
That's what I'm talking about. It is an honor and a pleasure to have been asked to come out and minister to you, because that's what we do as a choir at Dr. King School. Our children range from grade levels pre-K through fifth. We love singing. Well, with how this choir really formed, this is God's choir, it's not my choir. He formed the choir, and he formed the choir to send a message that will bring peace, joy, love, and happiness throughout our community. The kids are ecstatic. We usually are in numbers about 76, but we have faithful few all the time, and I'm really proud that they come out on a Wednesday evening to minister to you. Our principal, I don't want to forget her. She's sitting over in the beautiful pink of fuchsia, Miss Floyd Echols. Let's give her a hand. I would also like to recognize our parents, because without the parents, then our children would be. And our parents say it. Because I can't say that it is my dealing with God. And when I say that, I truly say that because it is true. There's a purpose within this choir. Structure is taught, memorization, behavior, all sorts of skills in order to develop our children to be all that they can be. And when God and I train, we train for a lifetime, not just an elementary school. So from there, what we're going to do, we're going to render. No one said how many selections?
You said three.
Three, so we'll do three. The first selection we will be performing is God is, you are good, you are good. Second one will be, now behold the Lamb. And the last, that they really like this one, is glorious. So let's put our hands together again.
I'm going to pray first, and then we're going to, on behalf of James Street United Methodist Church, we want to welcome the Dr. Martin Luther King Choir and the organizations here, the children, the parents, to our communities, the outreach program for our Lenten season, and we just wanted to reach out into the community and say thank you for a job well done. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, nothing that has been made and does forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we truly lament our sins and acknowledge our wickedness, may obtain of thee, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord, we say, amen. Amen. At this time, we'll turn it over to the choir.
Thank you.
good. Our next selection is Now Behold the Lamb. Our soloist, our song.
Rosario Mitchell.
Zachariah Lewis.
Sonali Mohammed.
Jalil Mohammed.
Thank you.
glorious.
Thank God for those children, the gospel choir. Let's give them another round of applause. God has certainly been good to us this evening. to hear those young voices sing so loud and clear. As we continue on our Lenten service, at this time we're going to have Brother Keith Fields will come and bring a small meditation to you, a very short meditation. Brother Keith Fields. The scripture will be taken from Mark, the 12th chapter, the 18th verse. The Sadducees did not believe that people would rise to life after death, so some of them came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, Moses wrote that all his married men died and has no children. His brother should marry the widow. Their first son would then be thought of as the son of the dead brother." And there were once seven brothers. The first one married, but the other died without having any children. The second brother married his brother, widow, and also died without having children. The same thing happened to the third brother, and finally to the seventh brother. Last, the woman died. When God raised people from dead, whose wife will this woman be? And after all, she had been married to all seven men, seven brothers. Jesus answered, "You are completely wrong. You don't know the scripture teaches, and you don't know anything about the power of God." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Praise God. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Amen. What a blessing the choir was. Thank you so much, Mrs. Clark. And thank you, children. Thanks to the parents that brought their children out. I want to talk about operating in the power of God. Jesus had a confrontation with these Pharisees. And what it boiled down to was the power of God, the condition of the heart. If we want to operate in the power of God, we must believe in Him. We must put our faith in Him. Wouldn't it be absurd to ask God to put His faith in us? In fact, that is exactly what we do when we are entrusted with doing the work of God, but we are more concerned with what we want than what God wants. We cannot be more concerned with controlling the things of God than submitting to God. If we want to operate in the power of God, we must live lives that are pleasing to God. We must trust God with our lives. We must trust that God can lead His people, that He can build His church. We must have our faith centered firmly in God, seeking to please God, not ourselves. If we want to operate in the power of God, we must have faith in God, and we must live by faith in God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. To operate in the power of God, we must believe God, we must seek to please God with our actions, and we must many times make hard decisions that include admitting that we're wrong in order to do what God is asking for us. The power of God is in the seed of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him." When we ask God to heal us or to provide for us or to bless us, do we really expect Him to do that? Do we really believe that God hears our prayers?
Yes.
If so, then by whose power do we expect God to act? Is it not by His own power? In order to operate in the power of God, we must have faith. But what is faith? The scripture defines faith in a way that is worthy of much contemplation. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." If you have not already meditated on those words, let me say that you will be enriched from doing so, and I encourage everyone to learn those words and to apply them to their everyday lives. We need faith to operate in the power of God, but how do we obtain faith? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Why is hearing the word of God so important to obtaining faith and operating in the power of God? By His word, God is teaching us the way and helping us to recognize when He is working and when someone else or something else is working. Just listen to the words that surround the work. Observe the words that form the foundational concepts and motivations of the work, and it will reveal the true nature of the work. When we do not know the Word of God, when we do not have faith in the Word of God, if we do not hear the Word of God, we do not have the framework to determine what is or is not the work of God. As people of God and His workers who are entrusted with the work of God, we must know what God has told us to do, and we must do it in the way that He has told us to do it. This is only possible by lining our words, thoughts, and actions up with God's word. When we are guided by and grounded in faith in the word of God, we have the ability to operate in the power of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." When we submit to the word of God by faith, we are submitting to the power of God. We must also remember that God is a spirit, and He is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. To operate in the power of God, we must adhere to His word. But how do we know if we're keeping His word? One of the ways to measure that is to measure the level of love. "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." This is how we know that we're in Him. Remember that when we are led by the word of God, we are led to do good works. We will become positive and uplifting to those around us, and our thoughts, words, and deeds will tend towards life, truth, patience, trust, peace, and above all, to love. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to them that put their trust in Him." Let us not miss the true power of God because of unbelief or rebellion to His word. Let every one of us who are workers in the kingdom of God search our heart with the word of God and find anything that exalts itself against the will and the spirit of God and cast it away from us. Let us not be so busy operating in our power that we forfeit our privilege of operating in God's power. Let us not be like the keepers of the faith and their traditions that Jesus confronted, who got so focused on their traditions, words, and works that they were not able to receive what God had given them. The Word of God had manifested in the flesh in their midst, and the power of God was operating before their eyes. And because of the condition of their hearts, they were not able to receive the power of God. We must be on guard. We must be careful of the words and concepts that we operate by. In order to operate by the power of God, we must operate in the Word of God and nothing else. This was the mistake of the Pharisees. They could not operate in the power of God because they were operating in their own power by their own words and philosophies. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Have faith in the Word of God. Hear the Word of God. Do the Word of God. And you will operate in the power of God by His Spirit. Then you will receive the blessings of God. Why? Because God says, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Remember that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is the greatest preacher and teacher that will ever live, said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Do you want to operate in the power of God? Have you been trusted with doing the work of God? If this is you, then I call you into account at this very moment to the words of the head of our church, our high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ and our God, who said in his holy scriptures, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent, according to the word of God. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God, whosoever therefore resisteth the power of God resisteth the ordinances of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Have faith in the word of God. Live by the word of God and be led by the Spirit of God in all that you say and do, and your obedience is fulfilled. Remember that it is God which worketh in you. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye are blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you will shine as lights in the world. Amen. Praise God.
Let's say amen once again.
Amen.
Amen. At this time, we want to call the choir back up, so we're going to give them presentation on behalf of James Street for coming out tonight. And also we want to thank Mrs. Clark and Mr. Fields for their presentation, and also the children for working with us tonight. Thank you, my brother.